As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This is Issues 2021. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Matt Fouts, Director, Tanganyika Wildlife Park. Welcome to Issues 2021, Matt.
Hey, thank you very much.
I'm gonna start with the basics, okay? Where is the park located?
So we're on the west edge of Wichita in Goddard, Kansas.
Not hard to find, though, right?
No, just a mile off Highway 54. So a little bit tucked back, but not too hard to find.
How many years has the park been open now?
So we officially opened the park as most people know it today in August of 2008. So this would be our 12th full season.
Tell me where the idea came from. I mean, it's an interesting place to go, lots of animals and so forth. But who came up with the idea, and why did you want to put it right there?
We ask ourselves that question a lot, actually. the park really kind of came about organically. It started out and still remains today part of Jim Fouts's, my father's, dream to build a world-class breeding facility, right? Like, his interest has always been just trying to create those successful breeding programs for rare and endangered species. And that was really his goal. It wasn't until we started doing some kind of little tours in the backyard, And that just grew and grew to a point where we didn't have the facilities necessary to really accommodate the demand. And so I don't know if it was the natural progression, because I don't think too many people are like, well, let's just build a zoo. But that's ultimately what happened, right? We were like, let's just build an entire zoo from the ground up and really focus on the thing that I think people loved about the backyard tours and why they were so popular. Even though they were only getting to see like 7 species of animal, right? That's not very many when you consider you could go to Sedgwick County and see 500 species of animals. But what they got to do was feed lemurs through the fence. They got to feed the giraffes from the deck. We did a little tiger demonstration. And the people just really loved being able to connect with the animals. So, what we wanted to do is, how do we maintain that intimacy, that up-close approach, but still expand it to accommodate more people, and that's kind of where we ended up with the park.
Well, how many visitors do you actually see in a typical year? Do you know?
I think at our peak we were around 130,000, not too bad. Obviously, that declined last year with COVID, and this year remains. We'll just have to kind of see.
Well, that's a pretty good total, though. Wow, yeah, I'm impressed. I wouldn't have thought. That'll be that many, but that's good. Now, where do these visitors come from, Matt?
That's probably, to us, it's an interesting thing. We do have a lot of season pass holders. We have that really great season pass special that happens every March, where you can get, for the price of one admission, or this year less than one admission, you can come the entire year for free. But But beyond the season pass holders, over 40% of our people come from outside the metro area. We're pulling a lot of people in from all over. I would say the surrounding states for sure. But we have some unique experiences, like swimming with the penguins. And it's the only place I know of in the world where you can swim with penguins. And so, I mean, we've had people come from all over the United States to do that experience. So, we're getting a lot of people in from all over the country.
Do you entertain school field trips? Is that something you do?
Yeah, so that was kind of our bread and butter when we first started out doing the tours in the backyard. It was a lot of school groups. And, that's something that we maintain today. We still, groups will come out. We give them a tour that's based on state science standards and their grades and a couple different topics that the teacher can pick. And then they get to do at least one animal interaction. And then a lot of them will do an additional animal program where we'll bring more animals to the class, and they get, we'll bring the class to some animals, I guess I should say, and they get to interact with them and stuff. So, it's a smaller part of what we do today overall in terms of, revenues and that kind of thing, but still something pretty important.
How has the pandemic impacted the park?
Obviously, like most businesses, it definitely hit the revenue, the bottom line. I think it caused, hit us about $1 million, which is about 25% of our budget. And unlike a lot of businesses, they do have employees that do rely on them, but the X factor for us is the animals, right? We have over 500 animals here that don't care if there's a pandemic, that don't care if it's 10 degrees outside or 110 degrees outside. How many visitors come to the park, they're not as concerned about, other than if, they're a lemur and they don't get as many crazies. But we still have the responsibility to be stewards for those animals, that we are responsible for ensuring their livelihoods. And so that's a huge cost that we had to bear, even if we weren't open or our attendance was down because, people were still trying to kind of figure out what was going on. So it was tough. We were able to maintain, we maintained our entire keeper team. We didn't lay anybody off. We weren't going to sacrifice care. We were just going to figure it out. And at the end of the season, the splash park opened and, we had some record attendance for those months. And so we really ended on a high note into the winter when we close down and we have almost no income. That's usually the hardest part for us. But we weathered it okay and made it through to this year, and we're excited.
Now, so you think you're back to normal then as far as, having people come and see the animals? Back to normal now?
Yeah, so, one thing that, we made some changes coming out of the pandemic as far as everyone was kind of doing the reservation thing to make sure that you didn't have too many people and all that kind of thing. We did keep some of those processes in place. So the capacity of the park is limited now, but it's well above what the COVID levels are.
Okay.
But unlike before, we could have 4,000 people come in a day. And what you saw was long lines, people not participating in interactive experiences because they didn't want to wait. The overall satisfaction or experience was diminished. And so we did keep the reservations and the capacities, some capacities in place just to improve the overall experience. And I think that we've seen that, right? People have been enjoying that, and we've actually been selling out even on like some Saturdays and whatnot. So, things have been really good.
Now, you recently opened a splash park. Tell us about it. What can you do at the splash park?
Yeah, so, the splash park I've been working on a few years. I was really excited to get it open. It's 5,000 square feet. So, if you think of a lot of the splash pads around the city, it's much larger than that, but smaller than like a Great Wolf Lodge or a, maybe Rock River Rapids. So it's kind of in the middle there. But it does have three slides. It has three tipping buckets, a lot of very unique features. We have LED fountains that will go to music and lights. We have the jumping fountains like you would see at Disney's Epcot Center, that look like the water's leaping. We have some penguins with those fountains in them. We had the world's tallest giraffe fountain that's spinning into one of the buckets. So it's very themed and very interactive. It's great for both older kids and younger kids. And so, that whole area also included some improvements to the playground. We added a smaller tower. We turfed the whole area to make it safer and just more enjoyable than like mulch.
Okay.
We also added a bar. So, adults can come and while the kids are playing, they can enjoy our local beer or have a margarita.
And you're taking steps to correct a problem that you had there a couple of weeks ago. You're taking steps to correct that and get things back on that basis, right?
Yeah. So we're working with the health department. I know this is something that I think most aquatic facilities have faced at some point in their history, and unfortunately, it hit us a little early, but. We are working with the health department and trying to make sure that everything is as safe as possible so we can get it open and let people enjoy it.
Now, does the wildlife park provide animals to other parks and zoos? You and I have talked before, and you mentioned about breeding, and that's something I know you do. Are you providing animals to other parks and zoos now?
Yeah, so, that's a big part of what we do. It doesn't account for a lot of the revenue piece or the mission part, it's definitely an important part of the why. Is that our breeding programs, not all of them, but a lot of them are part of international cooperatives or breeding programs to where, the animals will go from here, will go to other zoos. Sometimes they're traded, sometimes they're sold or donated. It just varies. But we're working to try and work on the genetics of different populations to make sure we can preserve those species within managed care.
What's the most popular animal? I guess that's something you can tell. How do you gauge? But what do you think is the most popular animal?
I there's probably a handful that would account for the most popular.
Yeah,
it would just depend on the individual. So our sloths are very popular. The penguins are very popular. The giraffes are even pretty popular. The white tigers, when we had them. They retired, but so we don't have any at the moment, but those were definitely up there. And then I would say the otters or the lemurs, so they kind of round out that list. So five or six animals.
Are there some of these animals, zoo attendee, can the person actually touch them or physically?
Yeah. So, we have multiple feeding stations where you get the opportunity to feed them.
Yeah.
And then there are a few of them where you can even touch the animals. So, you can pet the kangaroos. It's not a feeding station, but you can pet the kangaroos. You can pet the bunnies, tortoises, guinea pigs. I know if you do the rhino feeding, they usually let you pet their nose or touch their nose. the lemurs, you're not allowed to touch them, but they're going to sit on your lap. They're going to grab your hand. They're essentially going to touch you, right? So you get a little bit of that same interaction. And so... yeah, there's just different ways that you can interact with the animals and really get close to them.
I remember that about the lemur, that you're not supposed to touch them. You just got to sit there and let them touch you. Is that the same thing for the white tigers then?
Yeah, but you only get to do it once.
Okay, you saw that one coming.
You're
listening to Issues 2021 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is Matt Fouts, director Tanganyika Wildlife Park. Let's talk about some of the animals specifically for a minute. Tell me about these giraffes. I know that you've got a big platform where you can actually feed them. Tell us about the giraffes.
Yeah, so, the giraffes are, they're our logo. They're kind of a signature animal for us. We have had the second largest herd in the United States. So we bounce around a little bit with Colorado Springs, Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, or even Disney. Disney's, got a pretty good sized herd. So, but we have a very large herd. We've actually bred, we've had over 65 babies born here, maybe 70 now.
You're kidding. Really?
No.
That many?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Wow.
So our herd right now, it'll bounce anywhere from maybe 12 to 18 animals. And then we're getting ready to build a safari park where we'll actually have two herds, which will be pretty cool. Then we have a feeding station. And I would say our feeding station's unique. A lot of times you see where you're raised up so high that the head, you know, you're kind of almost reaching down to the giraffe, or the head's kind of right at your chest level.
Yeah.
Or you see some instances where you're completely on the ground and the giraffe does have to come to you, but you're at a distance. And ours is kind of in the middle. And what it allows is it allows the giraffe to kind of come into your space. But at the same time, you're not... But you're low enough to where you can still get a sense of how tall and how big they are. If that kind of makes sense.
That's a beautiful, beautiful animal.
I think it's pretty unique. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
How about rhinos? They scare me. They look pretty ferocious, but are they scary? Are they vicious?
I don't know if they're vicious. I mean, I don't know that I would want to make one mad, but like.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you know, when you come out here, you're going to see them kind of laying around in the mud wallows or in their little pond. You know, they're pretty chill for the most part, you know, but they've got a pretty easy life as well. Right. Like if you were, I don't know that I would react or handle myself the same way around one that's been in managed care versus one that's just roaming around the wild. So, there's definitely a difference, but yeah, no, I mean, you know, our Indian rhinos, we have a male and a female. We're the only non-AZA zoo in the country to have a pair. And so we're, you know, we're actively trying to get them to breed. We do have a black rhino, but he's going to be going to another facility here pretty soon. But then Jim has five white rhinos in Africa. And they're in a holding facility right now waiting to come over to the park when we get our safari barn done. So we're going to have some white rhinos here probably within this next year.
Wow. Tell me about pygmy hippos.
Yeah, the pygmy hippos are a lot of fun. You know, we're one of the few zoos in the country that has a feeding station for the pygmy hippos. So that's something they're very unique. You know, they're pretty small. A lot of people think they confuse them for like baby hippos, but they're a tenth the size of a regular hippo. But the ones that we have on exhibit are full grown. And, you know, in the wild, I don't know if they're more dangerous. They're obviously smaller, so they're not as maybe dangerous as a big hippo. But I've heard because they're short, you know, they have that short man syndrome sometimes, and they can be more aggressive. So, but ours at the station, they love to just hang out there, and they'll just let you toss carrots into their mouth for as long as you're willing to do it. So they're pretty cool.
And I've heard that the hippo, the full-size hippo in the wild, is a dangerous animal. You don't want to mess with them at all.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're, you know, they're massive. They have incredible crushing power with their jaws.
Yeah.
They're a lot faster than you would think they are. So I think a lot of people don't judge them properly and end up hurt. So, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about this a minute ago, but tell us a little more about the lemurs. That's an interesting, fun little animal there.
Yeah, the lemurs are cool. You know, and of course, our lemur on the lap experience is very unique. It's the only lemur island in the country that I know of where you can go on and feed the lemurs. And, you know, of course, the lemurs became pretty popular with the movie Madagascar and King Julian. We have not got ours trained to dance yet. We're still working on that that part. But you know, they're pretty cool. An endangered species. They only come from the island of Madagascar, and there's several different species of lemurs. But kind of unique in that regard, too. And so... it's great to be able to have them as ambassadors for their wild cousins so that we can, you know, bring awareness to some of the issues that their cousins are facing on that island and in the wild.
Now, tell us about penguins. You talked about penguins a moment ago.
Yeah, so we have a large colony of penguins. I think we're somewhere around 50 or 60 right now. And our breeding program has been doing incredibly well. Which, again, is important because their population over the last several decades has declined by 90%.
Hmm.
And so, you know, when they were up in the numbers of 120,000, they're down to, like, maybe just, 12 to 20,000. It kind of varies on where you look. Hmm. So their numbers are down significantly. And so, you know, breeding is an important part. And, of course, penguins in general just people love. So... we have a lot of different things you can interact with penguins. You can feed them. There's a feeding time where you can come and feed them fish. You can do a meet and greet where they would come and, you know, four or five people, and they would come and spend some time with you. You can swim with them. Like I said, one of the only places in the world I know of that you can actually swim with penguins. So there's a lot of different ways. If you are a penguin lover, I promise you this is probably the facility for you.
Okay. Now, do you host parties and weddings and other private events?
Yeah, so we have multiple rooms in the park where, or at the front of the park, where we can do indoor events. And then, of course, the new outdoor space by the Splash Park, there's an area called the Courtyard it's covered, but it's an outdoor space. It's perfect with the turf and everything for, playing cornhole and having your dance, your wedding and your reception and all that stuff outside. So it's a pretty awesome space. But we host all kinds of things, birthday parties to weddings to corporate functions. I think we even have a company here in August doing a buyout where they bought the entire park out for the day for their customers. So lots of different options.
Tell us about your workers, the folks who actually take care of the animals and work at your park. Tell me about those.
Yeah, so our team is very special. They do a fantastic job. A lot of people get into become keepers into the animal field because they're animal people, right? Like they much prefer spending time with animals over spending time with other people. And here at the park, because we do so many different interactive experiences and different things, they definitely have to be good at handling or working with people, but also experts at taking care of their animals. So the people that are here do a phenomenal job at being able to do both, and it really makes them special within the industry. There's not a lot of places that are as interactive as we are, and so they really do a great job providing world-class care to these animals. And the other thing that's interesting is, there is a zoo science program here in Wichita, but even most of them are from out of the area, right? Like there's some people from the Wichita area, so most of our keepers are from out of state. We have a couple that are from the local area, but mostly they come from out of state, so... it's pretty interesting.
Do you employ interns?
We do. We have education interns. We have keeper interns. I think we've had some marketing interns. So we do all sorts of various internships here at the park.
What are your future plans? Can you tell us one or two things you're thinking about doing here in the next few months or so?
Yeah. So, more immediate future, we are working on some new cabana lows, which we made up that word. So cabana, they're next to the splash park, but they're designed and they're kind of the size of an African bungalow. So we just combined the two words to cabana low. But those will hopefully be open here within the next month. So those will be great for birthday parties and other really smaller events.
Okay.
So that we're working on. We just opened up a brand new bird area. With like 10 new bird exhibits, which is pretty nice. We call it the nest, but it's just a bunch of aviaries. And kind of longer term, we are building our new safari barn, which will be the foundation for the new safari park we hope to open up in the next year to 2 years. That area is going to have a new exhibit for the lions. We'll have some smaller exhibits for just different African animals like the porcupines and bat-eared foxes, things like that. And then back behind them, we'll have the safari park, which you'll either go on a train or a truck or both to go through it. And, you'll have another herd of giraffes, some different hoof stock, and some really unique and cool things with that experience as well. So,
have you got a pretty good website that you can tell people about what's going on?
Yeah, the website has pretty much all the information on it as far as, admission and season passes and... there's even a blog on there with some articles that are just kind of things going on at the park, a calendar of events. So a lot of that basic stuff's on there. Not as much about the expansion specifically, if that's what you're referring to, but as far as just what's happening day to day or events that are coming up for the public, not like weddings, all that's definitely on the website at twpark.com.
I think we're out of time, but I just want to say thanks for spending some time with us, Matt. It's always good to talk to you. Some exciting things going on at Tanganyika Wildlife Park, easy to find out west of Wichita near Goddard, right off of 54 there, and it's a good place to go. Hope you have a great summer. Thanks for being with us. That's all for this edition of Issues 2021. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.